to advertise on Urban Media Today and Urban Media Today Radio, call 412-424-7045. Urban Media Today is an online blog magazine specializing in urban lifestyle, finance, entertainment, HBCU sports, and more, with 24/7 exposure and online exclusives. Email editor at urbanmediatoday.com or call 412-424-7045.
Soul Tape.
The champ is here.
Champions Live is the name. Talking sports is our game. Welcome to Urban Media Today Radio. I'm your co-host, Bill Neal, along with Kevin Cameron. It is Soul Take, Champions Live sports talk show. Reaching everybody across this great land of ours, we're going to go from the basement to the penthouse real quick. In the basement, now just to show you our show is versatile. We cover all the bases, Jim. Roseanne Barr is canceled. She's done. Roseanne Barr didn't slit her own throat, so we'll come back and talk about that. But now from the basement to the penthouse being the legendary Jim O'Brien joins us here today, and we're going to talk everything about sports, and I mean everything. This guy's a walking, talking encyclopedia. I think he went to his first game in 1912, 1913, so he's seen a whole lot of stuff. So we're going to cover everything, Steelers, Pirates, Penguins, all that stuff, because he's written a book or two or three on every one of the Pittsburgh franchises and has an unbelievable history of all the teams and the players and all that stuff. But first, Jim, before we talk with you, I've got to go to my co-host, Kevin Cameron, who is the brains of this outfit. And I could be wrong. Because sometimes I am wrong. As I've stated on several occasions, to the best of my knowledge, I've had four concussions from my somewhat illustrious football career. And then there's concussions I had that I don't remember having. So, So if I'm wrong, you tell me. But didn't you have Boston beating Cleveland? Now, if I'm wrong, tell me. I know we both were on the edge thinking that Golden State was about to fold up last night.
Not on the edge, Bill.
We had Golden State.
I'm just so elated today. I was happy to come in here because everything that I told you over the previous weeks, everything came true. Okay. I told you that Boston would win game five to go up 3-2. And I told you that the king, LeBron James, would dominate and put that team on his shoulders and take them to the championship. I told you that Houston would win and go up 3-2. And again, Golden State, being the championship team, you know, would win the last two and go to the championship as well. And I told you, what did I tell you? I told you, champions eliminate champions.
Is there a question in there somewhere? Were you asking me a question?
Well, it was rhetorical.
Oh, okay.
It was rhetorical.
So you don't want to hear from me, is what you're saying.
But exactly, which you started off right by saying, you know, you forget things and didn't know.
I was looking for a simple yes or no response. Was I right or wrong in you picking Boston? That's either yes or no.
You were wrong.
And you went into a tirade about all this stuff.
Bill, every time I'm right, it's always a question.
Did you pick Tiger to win the Masters?
I did pick Tiger to win the Masters.
And
you always come back
to that. Well, I'm just asking because you said you're always right.
After 1,000, I can make 1,000 predictions.
So you're not always right.
And see, just like today, you know all of my predictions, everything from the NBA to Major League Baseball, with the Pirates being 28-25 in fourth place. And things are falling apart. And I told you from the beginning,
all right,
baseball is a marathon and the real team will show up.
Do me a favor, Reverend Ike. Put a sock in it for a minute and get off the pulpit. NBA playoffs, the hockey playoffs are going on. The Pirates are doing what they do, lesser than
we expected. And the NFL. Well, let me just get
through. Well, we need to talk about the Anthony Rizzo play.
Well, we'll do all
home.
That. But I want the people to know all the stuff we're talking about. Now, you asked me to do that, and you keep interrupting me.
Well, that was part of it, Bill. So I couldn't let you leave that out.
Well, don't leave. That's important.
The controversial home plate slide. We need to talk about that.
That some people think are controversial, and some people think not.
Well, Major League Baseball actually came out and made a ruling and said that they were wrong.
It was a bad call. So, but the manager said he thought it was a good call. So what are you going to do? So anyway, you got all that to cover.
But let's play by the rules.
Without any further ado, spoken from an Aliquippica, playing by the rules.
Yeah.
Without any further ado, let us introduce our special guest today. Now that we got the audience in an uproar, Jim O'Brien joins us. Jim, welcome to the show. Soul Take Champions Live. Now, Jim, this fits you kind of good because you got soul. I've been to several events with you, and I've noticed you kind of cuddle up to the sisters. You know, you got away with, I think the sisters kind of like the gray hair guy.
Hey, Bill, do we need to go Facebook Live? Do we need to go Facebook Live? We can do that, Jim.
I'm just saying.
You promised me you would not get me into any trouble tonight. Please.
Well, listen, you've got 2 days before your wife will hear this, so you're good for 2 days, so don't worry.
But you're right.
They do love you.
They do.
They do love you. Well,
there's nothing bad with being loved, Jim. Nothing bad with being loved.
The silver fox, he is.
They like the way I talk.
Hey, Jim, I want you to do me a serious favor for our listeners. And keep in mind, we're going across the country here. As a matter of fact, across the globe. But give us a background, a resume on yourself. I mean, there's so much, and I mean sincerely, there's so much sports history that comes with you. But you know, tell all the folks where you're from, what high school, what community, and on. Bring us up to date a little bit on the history of Jim O'Brien.
Well, I grew up in the inner city of Pittsburgh. I grew up in Glenwood. Everybody thinks I grew up in Hazelwood, but I am guilty of social climbing when I say I'm from Hazelwood. I'm from Glenwood, which is in the inner city of Pittsburgh, and I went to school there. And the one thing I learned growing up in Hazelwood, and this is something that people ought to think about, if you grow up in Garfield or Homewood or the Hill District or the North Side or Hazelwood, you can learn how to get into trouble or you can learn how to stay out of trouble. I knew when to stay home. I knew when not to go out. And the other thing that I knew was that it was better to have the police looking out for you than it was to have the police looking for you. And I think that that's an important thing. And I can tell you this. If you don't want to be shot by a cop, white or black, don't commit the crime. Don't commit the crime. And I believe right now that most of the NFL players aren't sure what they really
hold it.
What they're really fighting for.
I don't want to go there yet. We have an hour.
Let's go into Jim O'Brien.
I want to stay with Jim O'Brien for a moment. I want people to know how you got to be the author of all these great books. So give us some college background, some history.
Well, I was a young Bill Neal when I was about 10 or 11 years old. I delivered the newspaper, the Post Gazette, with my brother Dan. And I learned everything I needed to know to be a success by being a newspaper boy. I learned that you have to get up early in the morning. You have to get out before everyone else. You have to be responsible. You have to go out when it snows and whenever it's lightning, which was really the scary part. You have to knock on people's doors about three times sometimes to get paid. Sometimes you have to do it for 3 weeks. You have to manage your money. And I learned to get excited about sports. And I learned to, I thought it was a good gig to be a sports writer. I never wanted to be a professional athlete, unlike you, Bill. Mm-hmm. I recognized my lack of skill quite early. And I always enjoyed sports. And I'm 75 years old now, and I still participate in games because I love games. But I wanted to be a writer.
Other people noticed my lack of talent, so it didn't.
Well, Richard Portis
too well.
Okay, well, Richard Portis
too well, Bill. Wow, too well,
yeah. Richard Portis supported. He followed me as a sports editor of the Hazelwood Envoy. He said I was one of his boyhood heroes and mentors. And Richard made a remark at a luncheon this year that caught me off guard initially, but then I realized something that he was actually providing me with something to think about. He said, my friend Jim wasn't that good of an athlete. He said, some of us played college ball, some of us played basketball. He said, but when we played basketball, you'd turn around and Jim was always there. And you'd say, "Why? What is he doing here? What is he doing here?" And why was he there? Because he liked to play. And I wasn't afraid to play with better players. And one of the things I try to tell my grandchildren now, see, I disagree with James Harrison about something. I think there is something to be said for participation. Everybody's not a great athlete. Everybody's not LeBron James or Michael Jordan or Andrew McCutcheon. But I think it says something to put your game on the line. Get out there and play. And I was very industrious as a kid. I hustled. So I had a lot of Bill Neal in me. The word hustle's been used with you, I'm sure. And I started my own newspaper with Beano Cook.
Mm-hmm.
He's something that everybody sure. knows. We started a newspaper, a tabloid called Pittsburgh Weekly Sports. We kept it alive for about 5 years. And when I got married, after about 3.5 years, Kathy had a prenup with me. She said, I'll give you 2 years to see if you can make this thing work. And after a year and a half, I got a job offer from the Miami News to cover the Miami Dolphins. That was my first daily newspaper job. With that newspaper, Pittsburgh Weekly Sports, I was able to demonstrate my ability as a writer. I came to the attention of sports writers throughout America, thanks to Beano Cook. And one job led to another. I never did a job interview. When I was at the University of Pittsburgh, I was the first sophomore ever to be the sports editor of the Pitt News. And I'd been preceded by some good writers, such as Myron Cope and George Casita. Bob Smizek was on the staff when I was there. And so I took advantage of every opportunity, and I got lucky. I got very lucky. And if you're in sports, it's one thing to be skilled, but you have to be lucky.
Capsule for me, in a little bit of a nutshell, the books. And so I want to move quickly to talk about some of these national things, but give us an overview of the first book to the latest book, if you can.
Well, when I came back to Pittsburgh in 1979, my timing was very good. My timing was good wherever I went. I came back to Pittsburgh, and the Pirates won the World Series. Trust me on that. And the Steelers won their fourth Super Bowl in 6 years. And I came back to cover the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Press. I had covered all the sports teams in New York over a 9-year period. And before that, I had worked in Miami and covered the Dolphins. So I had a pretty good run. And the thing about it is my professional daily newspaper gig lasted about 15 years. But ever since then, I've been doing books. And I'm now working on my 30th book.
Jeez.
And I've done all those books in Pittsburgh. I've printed them. And also during that one span, I was the founding editor of Street and Smith's Basketball Yearbook, which I'm sure you read religiously as a kid. It was called The Bible of Basketball.
Sure.
So I just was at the right place at the right time and took advantage of those situations. But I worked my tail off, and my greatest achievement is, one, my marriage. I was married this August 50 years to Kathleen Churchman from McKeesport.
Congratulations.
And she's from McKeesport, and I married up.
Hmm. Has she received an award?
She should, a Purple Heart.
Think.
My kids say, I said, how do you explain that we've been married 50 years? And they both said, Mom's a saint. But Mom...
Well, how many kids do you have now? I really don't know.
I have two, but I'll tell you a little bit about them. I have two children, and my wife knows more about basketball than just about anybody in Pittsburgh. Mm. And now I think she knows more than I do, which is scary. I mean, she knows the men's basketball, the women's basketball. She watches softball. So I got lucky because she wasn't that interested in sports when we got married. And now by osmosis, she's more likely to make sure we watch a Pirates game or a Penguins playoff game. We don't watch regular Penguins
games. All right,
games.
Well, give me now top off your top five or six books. I got one here, but your first.
Well, I wrote Roberto Clemente. Remember Roberto, and that was my best-selling book. Roberto was a neighbor of mine in East Liberty. We lived in the Penley Park Apartments when we first got married in 1967. Oh, get this. We had a nice, fairly new apartment in East Liberty, two bedrooms, for $175 a month. They are now selling condos in East Liberty, same neighborhood, for $4,000 a month. You know what I say? Hey, it's still East Liberty. You know, you can build a mansion in Hazelwood, but you're still in Hazelwood.
It is. Come on, name a couple more of the books now.
The Chief, about Art Rooney.
Right.
And Pittsburgh, The Story of the City of Champions. And even that, Marty Wolfson and I did that. Marty Wolfson was on television way back when, and he showed children how to draw. He was on the TV station in Pittsburgh that preceded KDKA. And he used to wear like a French artist. He'd wear a smock, and he'd wear a beret, and he would show children how to draw. And I was his first student on the show live when I was in fourth grade. And he asked me three questions that day, and I answered all of them by saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. When I got back to school the next day, the nuns were all over me. And about 20-some years later, I came back to Pittsburgh. Marty Wolfson called me. He didn't remember that incident. And he said, do you want to write a book with me? And I said, yes, yes, yes.
I learned my lesson.
You
learn quick.
Which you often do.
Well, let's do this. Let's jump. We'll come back to some Jim O'Brien stuff before the evening's up. But I want to jump to some stuff that Jim O'Brien can relate to very strongly and get my man Kevin on the mic, because we've been about 4, 5, 6 weeks now. We even had some charts going on here for a couple weeks. But suffice it to say, I actually had I actually had Toronto winning the East initially. And then I really thought that I thought LeBron could not win the East with the supporting cast he has.
He has no supporting cast.
Well, but he has what he has, and he's done what he's done with it. And to my surprise, because I certainly thought Boston would take him out in Game 7, but I've had Golden State all along. So, Kev, let's hear where you're at on the East Coast and the West Coast, and what you're thinking down the stretch as these two teams lock horns one more time, and Golden State makes their fourth appearance in a row,
fourth championship game against Cleveland, right?
I believe so.
Okay, so this has really transpired into a real good rivalry. So now, Bill, it's all about, will it be 3-1 Golden State, or can Cleveland make it 2-2? And as I told you many weeks ago, I told you exactly what would happen, who would be in the championship game.
When you say you mean everybody listening.
Everybody listening.
I know you're looking at me saying you.
No, you specifically,
but you mean
though.
You include Trevin. And everybody else has been sitting here. JT Thomas, you said, and Robin Cole. When you say you mean a collective you.
No, I'm talking about you specifically, because you said that LeBron couldn't do it again.
I did say that.
Okay, and I told you he would. But I told you that by the time he gets to the championship game, that he would really be worn down. And I told you that Golden State would not only go to the championship game, but they will sweep Cleveland. So we'll wait and see if that happens. Well, you told me that LeBron would make it to the championship game.
Correct me if I'm wrong. And you feel free to jump in, Jim. Correct me if I'm wrong. And I mean in all seriousness. Did you not have Indiana beating Cleveland?
I did have Indiana beating Cleveland.
Okay, let's put it all out. Let's put it all out there.
Hold on, you seem to not mention that little tidbit. Well, we moved
you
on
had Indiana
from there. You
beating
asked
Cleveland.
Me. Once we got beyond
you
that
had
series,
Indiana beating Cleveland, which means Cleveland really shouldn't be here based on what you thought.
You can always go back, Bill, but when you ask me who's going to win a given series, and I give you the team that I feel would win, okay, you can't go back and say, well, you were wrong with this and that. We were already moved on to the particular series at the time. So I know it takes a whole lot for you to say that I was right. Jim, but that's okay.
Jim, I know.
You know, I get a kick out of Stephen A. Smith, so I'm having a good time right now. Clearly, listening to you, clear, too.
But Jim, as an outsider, clearly you can tell how ridiculous that sounds. He had Indiana beating Cleveland, but we can't go back to when he said Indiana was going to beat Cleveland.
No, you two both therefore, sound intelligent. I will give you credit
well,
for that.
Of us
so
is,
so how
speak
far back?
Well, unlike Artie Burns. The cornerback of the Steelers.
Be careful.
No, he was on the radio the other day.
I thought you didn't want to get
well,
in trouble.
You know.
No, he was on the radio the other day discussing this national anthem thing. And I ask this question. Why ask Artie Burns for his opinion about anything? The man does not seem to be that particularly well, bright. And when he's calling the owners bullies that they're bullying, I just don't buy that because – I think that there's the problem in America. I recognize that. I think anybody has to recognize that.
But here's what you
problems.
Can't. Here's,
but you
this
have
is gonna
to
be
address
hard for you.
Them in a
this,
way
this is gonna be hard for you.
That you can accomplish
we're not going
to
let you run this show. We run this show. What is your response on the NBA game?
Hold on,
the
Bill.
East, the East, do you have
– I thought you wanted to have an interesting
yeah,
show.
Yeah, but we're going to stay on
Bill,
focus.
Let me say
who
this.
Who do you have – wait.
Because –
who do you have winning – the do you have LeBron and Cleveland or do you have Golden State and Curry?
I don't worry about stuff like that.
You don't
I
care.
Never did. No, I do care. I mean, I don't.
Well, pick one.
It won't affect my life, no matter who wins it.
Pick one.
But I will say this, some of the things you've been kicking around. I wrote 5 years ago that if LeBron James continues to play the way he's playing, he will undoubtedly be the greatest basketball player of all time. Secondly,
you have him now?
I've always felt my boyhood hero, believe it or not, as a kid in Hazelwood, I loved Wilt Chamberlain. Now, that makes no sense.
It does make sense.
I was the smallest kid on the street.
It does make sense.
And I'm doing a fingertip roll shot, which doesn't work whenever you're 4'6" or something like that. And somebody said to me last night, I'm not going to watch any pro basketball until they raise the hoop to 15 feet. And I said, no one's going to be interested. People love to see dunks. They love to see those shots. But anyhow, to me, Wilt Chamberlain will always be the most dominant player ever to play the game. And today, the likes of Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell and Nate Thurmond and Willis Reed and Wes Unseld would kill some of these guys if they came down the lane to dunk on them.
I agree.
Because now people just part like
I
it's
agree.
The Red Sea.
I totally agree. I
it,
totally
it agree.
Bill Russell's
game.
The greatest defensive player. And I'd still like to see LeBron be more of a shot blocker the way Russell was. And the greatest competitor and all-round player is Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan. So there's a lot of great players. And the thing about it is, for instance, Steph Curry, I didn't think he was physically up to being an NBA player when he came out of Davidson. I've never seen, in all the years that I've been watching basketball, and that's 60 years, I've never seen anyone who can shoot a basketball as accurately as Steph Curry.
Well,
never.
My response to that has been and continues to be, then clearly you're forgetting about Pete Maravich. Because Maravich could shoot like that and often and regularly and without a three. Now, everybody has their pick, but Maravich has been – I love Curry, but Maravich to me was
– I saw Maravich score 68 points at the Superdome in New Orleans against Walt Frazier, Earl Monroe, Tiki Burden, and there's another guard. His name escapes me right now. Some of the best defensive guards in the league. He scored 68. No three-point shot. And there's a documentary out that I'm in. It's an hour and a half long on Maravich. And you will never see highlights like he just was.
It's coming out?
No, it's been out. It was done by Black Canyon in New York, and it's been on CBS. You can get it on the internet.
Okay.
Pete Maravich.
Well, one thing I do want to go back, Jim, about Artie Burns, because I tried to chime in here, and between you and Bill, I wasn't able to get in.
You
but
had as much
with Artie Burns is a very intelligent individual. Okay.
He can't
might
be.
Let me say this. He might not be well spoken. I'll give you that. But from an intelligence standpoint, he's a very intelligent individual. So you really have to, and I don't agree with him, with what he had to say about the NFL policy, and we'll talk about that later. And I also wanted to go back, and we're going to talk about this also. because there's a lot of different things going on in our society. But I have to make a comment regarding what you said earlier about being shot and the police. If you don't do the crime, you won't get shot. Well, but from a black perspective,
you have to say that because that's a segment we have to come back to.
But that's okay. Well, people that listen do not always listen for the full show. So I want to make sure the people that might not have time to listen for 2 hours get this information as well. And that's why this show is called Soul Take Champions Live, because here in Pittsburgh, you don't get the black perspective. And you could get shot in America just because you're black. So I wanted to put that out there, and we could talk about that later. So there's been many cases in our country where our people got shot and they didn't do a crime. So I had to go
back. That's not in the majority of cases that happen. And we know this. We know that most blacks are killed by blacks, okay? And most whites are killed by whites.
But you shouldn't
kill people they know.
I agree with that 100%. But you should not get killed by people who are supposed to protect you.
You know why that happens,
though? And that's the big difference. Why does it happen?
The police are often very much like football players in that they live in a violent world. And just on a personal so many kids that I knew as bad news when they were kids.
I agree with you.
Ended up becoming cops. And cops tend to overreact to all situations. But if I wouldn't want to be a cop because
it's a tough job.
You make a traffic stop or you go to someone's home in a domestic violence situation and somebody just might shoot you.
Yeah, but what we have to back you up on is you said,
yes,
if you don't do a crime,
right,
you won't get shot.
Right.
And that's not accurate. You can get shot in America without having done a crime.
The majority of
cases. we're not talking percentages because one is too many.
But I said early on, Bill, I understand.
And
I understand the complaint.
And let me say this too, Jim. It's amazing. And we could do 4 programs, 5 programs on this. What makes us mad as black people in this country, you see a white person shoot up a school. He doesn't get shot. You know, he doesn't get killed. They take him into custody. And then if you have a black person steal a pack of cigarettes, he's dead. That's not fair. And that's why you have the issues in the NFL that you have today, that they had to just institute a policy for the national anthem. Now, I'm a military veteran. I believe that everyone should stand for the national anthem. But we have to understand these society issues, and what we're doing today talking about it is what we all should do.
I think that I was in church on Sunday, and it was the day before Memorial Day. And like many people my age, when I was a student at Pitt, I didn't want to go to the Army. But I also didn't want to do what you needed to do to get out of going to the Army. So I went to the Army for 2 years. And I served, and I did a good job. And the thing is that on Sunday when they said, well, everyone who served in the military, please stand up. I stood up, and they clapped. And I was proud that I had served in the military.
As you should be. As
yes.
you should be. But I have to conclude this so that we can move on. I have Golden State winning 4-2. I don't think Cleveland gets swept. What say you?
I don't bet, but I would never bet against LeBron James.
So are you picking LeBron James to win the NBA title?
No, I don't pick games.
Okay.
I write about I'm
that's
more
okay.
interested.
That's
I'm
okay.
more interested in the stories
okay. just,
than I am in
fine.
The results
that's
of games.
You. So Bill, you're on the fence.
I don't write about
O'Brien's on the fence.
I don't write about games.
Go ahead, Kev. I got 30 seconds before break time.
If you keep making picks, I guess eventually you'll be right.
Okay, but anyway, your position is
sweet. Golden State.
You got Golden State sweeping.
I have Golden
State.
All
right, well,
look,
you heard it from 2 out of 3 reasonably thinking human beings. I'll let you pick the other one of the two. But we'll be right back after this break, and we'll be talking some more social issues. This coming from a boy that grew up in Hazelwood that knows black, white real good, and Kevin Cameron from Aliquippa that's seen a whole lot of social issues coming and going. And, of course, I come from the elite part of town known as Penn Hills. So we'll kick it around a little bit more, and we'll talk about this NFL decision. It's baffling to me how 32 billionaires couldn't come up with a better plan than they came up with. We'll get to all that in just a moment.
your hand, you have $19.99. What could you do with that? You can fill up your gas tank, stop by a local coffee shop. You may need to add a little bit more to that. Maybe a matinee ticket to the movies. Matinee, though. What about subscribing to UrbanMediaToday.com? Now think about it. For just $19.99, you'll receive exclusive podcasts, interviews, entertainment updates, sports reports, and more. A VIP subscription to Urban Media Today is more than just a magazine subscription. It's access to the urban lifestyle. UrbanMediaToday.com is your only source for HBCU sports. Plus, you have direct access to awesome prizes like gift cards, swag, concert tickets, and your $19.99 supports another minority-owned business. That's pretty cool, right? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com right now and subscribe for just $19.99 a year. Not a month, not a week, but a year. You've always wanted to be a VIP, right? Well, here's your chance. Subscribe today for just $19.99 at UrbanMediaToday.com. You can thank us later.